seeking the Lord's help this afternoon, I direct your attention to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. And I'll read again verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the title of this afternoon's sermon is Children. 2 weeks ago we considered Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33, under the title Husbands and Wives. And there were just two main points: that firstly, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And secondly, husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves. And we spent most of the time considering how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I noted in closing that husbands and wives have a glorious and wonderful pattern for their marriage: the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for the church. And we saw that his love was a giving love, a sacrificial love, a steadfast love, a perfect love, and a lasting love. And that the love of Christ is reasonable and trusting. It is nourishing and caring. And our love for our wives should be like that. And the Apostle Paul sums up the way in which husbands and wives should behave one to another in Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And it's this high standard for marriage which leads on to the next category of persons that the Apostle Paul addresses, which is children. Children are the fruit of the womb. Children are a blessing that follows from marriage. And God's pattern in the Bible is for children to be born in marriage, and for them to have a father and mother who love one another. God's desire is for children to be brought up in homes where the father loves the mother as Christ loved the church, and where the mother submits to the father in all things as the church submits to Christ. We live in a country where the state is actively trying to diminish the role of parents and to take over from parents in the education and instruction of their children. Now, we recognise there are parents who do not look after their children properly for one reason or another. But that is not a reason to justify the state encroaching on the relationship God established for parents and children. Children have been given as a blessing to their parents. They have been born to be loved and nurtured in the fear of the Lord. They have been given as the fruit of the womb. And children are to be instructed in the ways of the Lord, brought up to obey and love and respect their parents. And the parents in turn are not to provoke their children to anger, but to train them up appropriately. But not only do father and mother have God-given responsibilities, as we shall see, so do the children. It is God's clear command and his desire. Firstly, children, obey your parents. God in his word has given children and young people a very clear statement as to how you should behave towards your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even a young child can understand that they are to do what mum and dad ask, that they are to do what mum and dad desire, and that they are to do what is right according to the Bible. In a Christian home, there should be no contradiction between what the Bible teaches and what parents require of their children. And so the Apostle Paul writes this very simple, clear commandment to the children at Ephesus and to the children around the world in every age who hear these words: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, children, young people, I want to say at the outset that I remember the first 22 years of my life better than I remember the second 22 years of my life. And so I can remember very well being a child and being a teenager. I was not an easy child for my parents to bring up. I wasn't always very obedient. I was strong-willed. I was determined. I was argumentative at times. I misbehaved quite often. I was sometimes violent. I was a typical child. And I used to struggle with this text from Ephesians when I heard it mentioned or when it was quoted at me, because it had a disturbing ring of authority about it. Children, obey your parents. And it's God's word, and it is to be followed. We're to strive to please God. And there's the parallel passage in Colossians 3, verse 20, that also emphasizes behind the command. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, strive to obey your parents, because God has ordained that they should instruct you and bring you up in the fear of the Lord. Parents are older, they have more experience of the world than you do. They generally do know better than you. Parents have accumulated wisdom and knowledge, and their instruction to you is for your benefit and blessing, to help you learn how to live independent lives in the future. You may grumble about some of the tasks that mum and dad ask you to do at the moment, but when you come to adulthood, you will find that tables do still need to be laid for meals. And after meals, there will be a need always to clear away, wash up and dry up. Food takes time to be prepared, and you will need to get to work at set times, and therefore to get up in the morning at a certain time. And all these things which now seem to be chores and tiresome, about which you may grumble, will be part and parcel of adult life. And God ordained for there to be a period of childhood prior to adulthood, so that as children you can grow up at an appropriate pace. Childhood in a Christian home is a wonderful gift from God to give you time to mature physically and mentally, with the overarching protection of your parents to help you, to keep you from evil and to preserve you from harm. Now, as we consider God's instruction to children in this opening verse of Ephesians 6, we must remember what he has written in Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's a general rule applicable to everyone, but particularly, as we shall see or have seen, to wives, to children, and also to servants. And so when the Bible says, children, obey your parents, it means, children, you are to submit to your parents. You are to be subject to them. There should be no arguing back when mum and dad ask you to do something. If you have a genuine difficulty or problem, then you can raise it with them. But there should be no violence back to your parents when they correct you. Now, sometimes parents don't always get their discipline and their reproofs right, and they should be big enough to apologise when they get it wrong. But God's pattern for children is clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we don't just have God's word that this is so, but we have God's example, because even the Lord Jesus Christ was subject to Mary and to Joseph. You remember Jesus had gone up at the age of 12 to Jerusalem. And in some senses he was now regarded as responsible enough to travel there and to travel back with friends and family. This was the beginnings of Jesus living an independent life, thinking independent thoughts. And you know how he ended up in the temple listening to the doctors of the law and asking and answering their questions. And his parents didn't realise where he was, and that must have been very distressing for them. two or three days. It was bad enough when one of ours went missing for half an hour. But Jesus didn't sin in this matter because he was already thinking about and preparing for the years of public ministry to come. But after they had reclaimed him from the temple, we are told, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now Jesus was 12 years old. No doubt changes were taking place in his body just like any other child of his age. He'd also had a taste of life apart from his parents for a few days. Independence. And yet he returned to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph. And he was subject to them. Jesus, the Son of God, was subject to his parents. And the verb tense used in the original Greek meant he continued being subject to them. Jesus obeyed his mother and Joseph. And God says to you, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And God can say, look at the example of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and like him, be subject to your parents. And notice in that verse in Colossians that the Word of God doesn't say, obey your parents when you feel like it, or when it suits you to do so. It doesn't say, obey your parents in some things and yourself in other things, but the Bible stresses, children, obey your parents in all things. It makes for a much happier household when children obey their parents. But even more important than making your parents happy, obeying your parents pleases God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God says it's proper, it's fitting that you should obey your parents. And it's clearly a very natural thing for children to obey their parents. But then the Apostle Paul brings out a second basis for children to submit to their parents, and that is the law of God. And we'll consider that under the second heading, children, honour your parents. Paul goes on to write, honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, positively, to honour your parents means to respect them and to think highly of them. And negatively, to honour your parents means not to treat them with contempt and not to be ashamed of them. Because God has appointed parents to bring up their children. Parents are in a privileged and exalted position, and therefore they are to be honoured. And of course, the basis of Paul's teaching here in verses 2 and 3 is the fifth commandment. Paul writes, honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And of course, there's that consistency with Exodus 20 verse 12 when the Ten Commandments were given. Honour thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I'm sure you know the commandments were then given again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16 we have a slightly expanded form of the fifth commandment. Honour thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Paul is writing to a mixed Gentile-Jewish audience, and so he states the promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And it's self-evidently the case that if we as children listen and obey mum and dad, then we're going to save ourselves from some very dangerous situations, even fatal situations. When mum and dad say don't run across the road without looking, they're seeking to preserve you from being hit by a vehicle. When mum and dad warn a child not to mess with fire or not to play with matches or to keep away from the pond were not to put their fingers on top of the cooker. These are all instructions which are designed to keep the child from harm or even death. And as teenagers and older, when mum and dad say don't drink alcohol, don't smoke, don't take drugs, they are equally seeking to prevent you from harming yourself. They want to keep you from harmful addictions that have destroyed many other lives. And it's clear, isn't it, the disobedient child puts themselves in harm's way and therefore risks a shortened life. I saw in passing only this week the terrible case of two teenage brothers who had both died from taking drugs. What a terrible waste of two young lives. Listen to mum and dad. Obey their instructions. Take their advice and pay attention to their commands, because it will save you from a lot of distress and potentially save you from harm or even death. And so in a practical sense, the obedient child will have his days prolonged. Now, of course, there have been obedient children who have died young from disease or from an unavoidable accident. So honouring our parents doesn't necessarily mean we will automatically live for a long time. But what Paul means is that if you want to live a life which knows God's blessing, then you should honour your mother and father. And if you honour your parents, you will know God's blessing on your life. It's a wonderful promise. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Family unity is God's basis for society. And a country in which parents are honoured and where husbands and wives love one another gives a society that is more stable and more strong. It's a society where people can more easily serve God. It is a society that will experience the smile of God. Nature directs that children should obey their parents. The law of God dictates that children should honour their parents, and thirdly, the grace of God calls them to submit to their parents. And so my third heading, children, submit to your parents in the Lord. Remember in chapter 5, Paul has instructed, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Then husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But now he writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And here is the highest reason. Children should obey their parents as unto the Lord and out of love to the Lord. That's the supreme reason why children should obey and honour their parents. We're to do so because it's part of our obedience to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As nature dictates it, the law emphasises is, but for Christians, we have this further great reason. Jesus himself asks us to do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And you remember in Matthew 15 that Jesus picks up on this fifth commandment in his discussion with the scribes and Pharisees. The religious leaders of the day had been abusing this commandment. But Jesus says, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. If we're a Christian, honouring our parents is one of the ways that we show our relationship with the Lord. We're to fulfil this commandment as to the Lord. Remember how God came from heaven to honour his Father's law, and he kept the law. He lived according to the law, and he redeemed us that we might be his special people, zealous of good works. He gave himself for us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so the grace of God raises this fifth commandment to the highest level. We're to honour and obey our parents and to respect them, to please our Lord and Saviour. And the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit, urges us to prove that we belong to the Lord by demonstrating love and submission and respect to our parents. And if you are a Christian and you still have your parents, one of the ways that you can show you belong to the Lord is by honouring and loving your parents. There are many people in the world who don't honour their parents. I remember when I was fruit picking many years ago, there was a lady who used to say terrible things about her father. And maybe he wasn't all that he should have been. But what a contrast the life of the Christian should be in this respect. Honour your parents while you have them. Love your parents for as long as they live. But then fourthly, we have a word to fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, who's moving Paul to pen these words, knows there's a need to give a balanced viewpoint in the relationship between fathers and children. Paul has given children three great and binding reasons to obey their parents, but he knows that parents sometimes overstep the mark and abuse their position. And we always see this right balance in God's word. There's this emphasis on children. Children, obey your parents. But then Paul writes, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And in the parallel passage in Colossians 3, verses 20 to 21, we see again this divine balance. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We've looked at what is required of children, but something very important is also required of fathers. Fathers are not to treat their children harshly or unfairly. And of course, it's possible for a father to be too severe in punishing his children. God knows our frame. He knows that fathers, being generally strong physically and mentally, can deal with their children too harshly, too severely. That fathers can overstep reasonable boundaries in disciplining their children. They may tell them off too strongly or smack them too hard. And I'm sure all of us who are fathers or who have been fathers could admit on occasions to being overly harsh or too severe with our children at times. And Paul warns that if that is a regular failing on the part of the father, it will breed resentment in the child. Lady Jane Grey, the 9-day Queen of England, suffered in this way, and it bred resentment. In a letter penned at the age of 13, she writes concerning her home life as follows. When I am in the presence of either father or mother, whether I speak, keep silent, stand or go, eat, drink, be merry or sad, be sewing, playing, dancing or doing anything else, I must do it as it were in such weight, measure, number, even so perfectly as God made the world. Or else I am sharply taunted, so cruelly threatened, yea, presently sometimes with pinches, nips and blows and other ways, which I will not name for the honour I bear them, so without measure misordered that I think myself in hell. pretty eloquent for a 13-year-old. But her parents were at that time only Christian in name. And that was evident in their parenting towards her. They expected perfection. And if they didn't get the perfection that they had in their minds at the time, they beat her and taunted her and misused her. She was provoked to wrath by their harshness and cruelty. Now the Bible directs parents to discipline their children and to use the rod, but never to abuse a child, and never to crush a child's spirit so that they become discouraged or resentful. While the word of God in this fourth verse of Ephesians chapter 6 not only directs fathers negatively not to provoke their children to wrath, but it also positively commands them, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Proverbs 22 verse 6 we have that lovely instruction with a promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. And we also read together in Proverbs chapter 4 that address to children. Begins, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." And Solomon writes, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." What did King David teach his son Solomon? He instructed him from the word of God. And fathers, it is ultimately our responsibility to teach our sons and daughters from the word of God. It's greatly helpful if our wives support us in this endeavor. But it is the fathers who will be answerable that day of judgment for how they did or did not instruct their children. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In our circle of churches and with the growing feminization of this country, there has been a terrible erosion of the predominant biblical role of the father to act as the spiritual instructor of his children. The inhumane number of hours fathers may be away at work has similarly eroded this biblical precept. But we need to recover it. A considerable percentage of the book of Proverbs considers the father-son relationship and the parent-child relationship. And Solomon, as he writes under the influence and direction of the Holy Spirit, spends a lot of time in Proverbs addressing the father-son and the parent-child relationship because it is important. How our children are raised affects them directly. And in turn, it will impact on how they bring up their children. The way in which I bring up my children has been massively influenced by how my mother and my father brought me up. And God says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In the first chapter of Proverbs, Solomon writes, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Children and young people, sons and daughters, listen to your parents. They are seeking to give you biblical instruction. Above all, they want you to follow on to know the Lord. They would have no greater joy than to know that you, as their children, are walking in the truth. In the second chapter of Proverbs, we have this beautiful instruction. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents, for this is God's command. Obey your parents, for this is the wisdom and grace of God. And if your Christian parents teach you the word of God and instruct you in God's ways, then obey the voice of the Lord in his word. Because to obey God's word is to be truly wise. Solomon also wrote, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Whenever we see general things like that in the scriptures, if it says son, it also means daughters. I wonder in which category of son or daughter you come. Are you a wise child that strives to keep God's law, honours your parents, and loves the Lord? Or are you a foolish child that ignores the instructions of your parents and ignores the divine instruction of God's word? To obey God's word is the way to life. And God says in his word, obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. God says, honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen.